This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to everyone tonight for Wednesday, June 6, 2012. Here we're almost 6 months into the year without any, you know, human catastrophe, no earthly obliteration, and, you know, another 6 months to go, but we'll see how it all turns out. We'll keep you apprised. If the human race should see its demise, we will let you know on Wednesday night.
Anyway, I saw another site with a countdown, Doug.
Yeah, I know.
There's another site with a countdown. Yes, there is. We should be doing one.
I know. Well,
good evening, everybody.
There's my co-host, Dr. Vicki Hunter. Glad to have her, too, as always. This is Metaphysical Universe, a educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science, where we explore human spirituality, science, empower the human spirit, and just generally all around make you feel good. And tonight we're going to make you feel even better. We have a special guest with us tonight, Betty Fletcher. She is a IMHS doctoral candidate, soon to graduate. And then we'll have to call her doctor. And she's, of course, a really positive, upbeat, bubbly type person, the kind that really ticks you off. So we're glad to have her. Welcome to the program, Betty.
Hey, always happy to oblige, Dr. Kelly. It brings me great pleasure to tick you off, so that's very good.
Betty, nobody's ever said that to me before. I'm touched. Yeah, just keep ticking me off. That's good. It's a good attitude to have.
Yeah, that's a great way to get good grades in the school, right?
That's right.
Just make the instructor angry.
So I must have gotten really angry since you've gotten good grades.
I, for one, am really excited. I'm excited to talk to you, Betty, because you have this really interesting, well-rounded perspective that, and you dabble in all kinds of stuff and teach things. So I'm looking forward to our visit tonight. It'll be great.
Thank you. Me too. And Dr. Kelly, I've seen you in the forum and heard you live in some of the broadcasts, and I've always enjoyed listening to you too. So I think we can have a very lively discussion this evening. So.
Oh, now you're just sucking up, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm taking one of her classes now, so I have to.
Well, that's good. Just be careful not to brown nose while you're sucking up, or vice versa. So.
Yeah, it's messy.
So tonight, we're... Good answer. Okay, so tonight we're talking about meditation and positive consciousness, and you know, it's I think you're the perfect person to talk about positive consciousness as something that we teach in the doctoral degree programs is positive consciousness, and it's really something that goes a little bit deeper than almost than just having a positive attitude. And before we get into that, Betty, tell us about you. Who are you? Where do you hail from? Who's Betty Fletcher? Tell us about yourself real quick.
Well, I'm originally from Rhode Island, and my family and I moved down to Florida outside the Tampa area about 4 years ago, and mainly it was just to get away from the weather that Rhode Island suffers from, which is lots of rain and lots of snow, and so we were ready for a change. So we're happy to be down here. And I've always been very interested in metaphysical science. I bought my first tarot deck when I was 13 years old and just have always been very curious about the different comparisons of spirituality. And it's led me down a very interesting road from being interested in tarot and Wicca and runes to finding your website and beginning to take the doctoral program with you. So it's been an interesting road. And I also had read The Law of Attraction, The Secret. A friend of mine had told me about it, and I got very interested in that. And that really was something that sort of took me in a different direction. And I found that was something that really resonated for me.
That's good. So tell us about your whole positive attitude thing, the positive consciousness thing. You know, how long have you been this way? Has this been something that you just, you know, grew up with? Or...
Were you born that way, baby?
Yeah, were you born that way?
Maybe she's
You're
born
killing
with it.
Me, Doug. All this happiness is killing me.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Actually, no. I probably was more of a person who may have started out life looking at the glass, sort of half empty instead of half full. I was very, very, very shy when I was younger, and anyone who knows me from years and years ago would know that I was very shy, very reserved, very conservative, didn't really speak unless I was spoken to, which really didn't work for me. You know, it didn't make people know who I was or what I was like, and I made a very concerted effort to challenge myself and change that about myself. And really, you know, the power comes from within. And just dealing with the law of attraction and dealing with positive energy and realizing that there isn't anything that we can't do, that, you know, if we put our mind to it, we have that willpower. You know, if you've heard about cases where, what was that gentleman's name, Mr. Goodman, or that was paralyzed from the neck down and, you know, was told that he would never walk again, and just through the power of his own mind was able to, you know, a year later or whatever, walk out of the hospital. So, you know, when you think about the power of the mind and that we only are able to use 20% of it at best if we're not, you know, watching foolishness on TV, it's probably a good idea to exercise it. It's just another one of our parts of our body to exercise. So, and that's just really where it all started for me. And it's, again, it's just been something that the more you practice it, the more you, the more it just becomes part of one of your core values.
That's true. And that's a good answer too. And hey, Betty, if I could I have you move your microphone up just a little above your mouth, if you would?
Sure.
Probably get a little bit better sound.
Okay, you know, a little bit better?
Yeah, I think so. We'll check it out. And if it it needs to be adjusted, I'll have Vicky slap you next time. You know, it reminds me, too, of my wife, Tracy. She's also one of those upbeat, positive people that, you know, you love to hate. And her story is that she, when she was, I don't know, about 12 years old or a young girl, she made a deliberate decision that she was not going to be like some of her family members around who were kind of crotchety and grouchy and all that. Apparently there was, you know, something that happened. She says, I'm not being that way. And you know, it almost was a literal rewiring of her mind, of her brain. And she's always been had that positive outlook, that upbeat, always looking for the bright side of things. And so I've obviously had the pleasure of living with that for the last 12 or so years, and 13, and you know, it's starting to rub off finally. Because I am so happy, I can't stand it, and I'm serious.
See, I have a question for Betty about, in particular, about shyness as a child. What about what age did you decide to not be shy and to kind of state yourself to others?
Well, you know, a lot of it happened sort of, you know, some of the things that teenagers have to deal with in high school, you know, and I chose a path that a lot of others didn't choose. I really didn't fall in with the crowd. I wasn't a person who was a follow the leader. So I kind of marched to my own drum. And I found that, of course, because of that, that I didn't necessarily have a ton of friends. The friends that I had were more like me and like thinkers. But once I graduated from high school, I found that, you know, it was sort of a metamorphosis that I was able to use that as a vehicle. Okay, I'm graduated from high school. I'm about to become an adult. Okay, it's time for me to morph into something different. What do I want to be? What kind of a person do I want to be? Let's pick it, you know. How do I want to behave? Do I want to say what I need to say in order for people to, you know, get a better idea of who I am? And that's sort of the direction that I moved in afterwards. So it was around probably age 17, 18 that I just said, okay, now for something completely different, as they say in Monty Python. So,
mm-hmm.
Was there something that triggered it for you, though, or did that come to you on your own?
I think the trigger was just the fact that I was leaving behind, you know, the child self that I was. I did see, I think it was my birthday that more or less triggered it, where I took that as, okay, now I'm an adult. What do I want to be as an adult, other than, you know, thinking about your career, but also what kind of, person do I want to manifest myself into? And so I think that's the best thing about being a person, being a human being, is we do have that ability to morph, you know, into anything that we set our mind into. And, you know, people who have to overcome certain things, you know, shyness or body self-image issues, I think that, you know, it's easier than they think it is if they would just allow themselves to, you know, drop some of those biases that they have towards themselves. Because half the time, if you meet someone, they don't know if you're shy or not shy. They've never met you before. They don't know that you don't maybe like the size that you are, or, you know, your appearance or whatever it may be. So, so for me, I guess that the trigger was my birthday, and then just embarking upon adulthood and seeing myself, well, it's time to be a grown up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it sounds like almost a spiritual epiphany or a spiritual awakening of some kind, because that's a very young age to, I mean, I can relate to it at some level, but I wasn't shy. Can you believe that? Because I'm fascinated by this, and I think it's very helpful for people listening, because I've met a lot of people who suffer from shyness, or, you know, just that basic insecurity, you know, or discomfort with others, or, you know, declaring who you are to the world, basically. But at a very young age like that, Betty, I marvel at that. I think that's extraordinary. But it sounds like, geez, like, I don't know, a spirit just kind of talked to you in your head one day, and you said, okay.
Yeah, okay. It really was, Dr. Hunter, it really was sort of just, okay, you know, I think how it happened, too, is I had met some new people, because, you know, when you're moving out of certain circles and into new ones, you meet new people, and they didn't know me. They didn't know me as Shy Betty. They didn't know me as the quiet girl. They didn't know me at all. And they struck up a conversation, and they liked me immediately, you know, because...
Well, what's not to like?
That's the, well, the problem is you think, oh, they're not going to like me, or I'm going to say something stupid, or you know, they're not going to be interested in what I have to hear and what I have to say. And that's not true. You know, people are always interested and that's sort of a bias, isn't it? You're setting yourself up with your own bias. Oh, already deciding for somebody else what they're going to think of you before they've even been given the opportunity to get to know you.
And that's a good point. So what would you... what would you say to people who have that attitude still?
This really, you know, at this point, maybe back then I wouldn't have thought of it, but at this point, it's something that really did make me laugh every single time it was brought up during the course, is stop taking yourself so seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, I am not kidding when I say that, because that was the biggest thing, is that was that belly button syndrome, that the only thing I could see was me. Oh my goodness, my hair might not be right, or my makeup might not be on right today, or, you know, or I'm wearing my glasses instead of my contacts. But then nobody knew that I had glasses or contacts, or that my hair was right or wrong, if they'd never met me before.
Right.
And so I think, you know, it is just taking yourself so seriously and not giving anyone a chance to get to know you, because you've already decided for them that, you know, you're not going to let them. And I think that in general, we're doing everyone a disservice, because we do have mm-hmm. something important to say.
And, you know, I'll be the first to tell you that my makeup never looks right.
No, I've never seen you with your makeup not looking just so.
Yeah. But, you know, you make a great point. You're when we take that attitude, we are deciding for other people, which is honestly, if you keep going with this line of thinking, when we decide what others will think of us, we are essentially usurping their personal responsibility. It's a control issue, really.
Mm-hmm.
We are deciding for them. We are revoking their free will. You know, we're assuming responsibility for their decisions. And so there's a lot of unhealthiness about it. So it's a good point that you bring up
mm-hmm.
on this. So how long have you been doing meditation?
Probably about 18, 19 years, I would say. And it happened.
So you're 29, so that's you're about 10 years old when you started then.
Right, and I'm 29 mm-hmm. again and again and again. Every birthday that I have, I'm 29 again. But I got involved with meditation when I belonged to a spiritual group, and the leader of the group had suggested that we try meditation as a way of just opening up our energy centers and our chakras to different experiences. And at first, when I tried it, I didn't know what I was supposed to think. It's sort of like, okay, what am I supposed to be feeling while I'm going through this meditation? But she utilized guided meditation, which is a lot easier for the novice, I think, because it takes you on a journey. And it is kind of a nice spiritual experience, depending upon the script. And so it was something that I just really enjoyed and something that I practiced, something that I like to offer people, and I do workshops and classes on. And I've managed to create one that coincides with every month of the year. And it's,
cool.
I refer to it as the Wheel of the Year guided meditations, and they coincide with the seasons and, you know, what you might think of when you think of the month of December or November. And highlight some of the holidays that might be around there. And it has been well received, even by people who've got no experience meditating. So, and I like to start my day out just kind of communing with nature, and I find it to be a very great way, instead of dashing out the door, you know, gulp a cup of coffee and dash out the door. I like to start the day off slowly and spend some time just listening and being. You know, instead of going into warp speed 5 minutes after your feet hit the floor. So.
I've listened to hypnotists who will do that too. And that's the same thing, only different. They just go out of the gate, and I never could figure out how anybody could go into hypnosis that way, or, you know, in that alpha state, the hypnagogic state. So. Well, that's great. So a little bit later on tonight, Betty will be doing a guided meditation for us, and it will be on the topic of an attitude of gratitude relaxation. So hang on with us, and I don't know, about 20 minutes or so, we'll do that one. And, you know, if you've got any questions or comments, you'd like to put them in the chat room, you can do that. If you want to call in, you can. I neglected to mention that we have, of course, our own Dr. John Hightower behind the scenes here, manning the phones, so if you'd like to call in, you will get to talk to John, which is always a good thing, and then he will route you to us if you'd like to call in. Do you have any, and I'll just kind of direct it at the listeners, do you have any experiences with meditation, any cool experiences, any interesting experiences you want to call up and mention? We'd love to hear from you. How about you, Betty? Any cool experiences during meditations?
I've done a meditation where it's encountering your power animal, and it's a meditation that's really quite interesting because you do have an opportunity to work with your power animal and greet it, meet it, and allow it to sort of share some of its special qualities with you. And I've gotten different animals depending, I think, upon what's going on in my life. You know, if I'm feeling particularly upset or agitated, I might get something that has more of a calming effect, like a dolphin or something like that. Or if I really feel like I need, more personal power, or if I feel like my energy is being sapped or whatever, it might be a dragon or a griffin, something like that. So that's a pretty interesting meditation, because you just really never know what your unconscious mind is going to reveal to you as being what it is that you need. So
is that where the power animal comes from? Your unconscious mind determines it?
I believe that it is, although I've exercised another method with this particular meditation, where I have a deck of their Celtic oracle deck, with utilizing the animals that were sacred to the ancient Celtic people, where you would randomly draw a card and on that card is depicted one of their animals. And then you already know who your power animal is, and when you go in to the guided meditation, you encounter the animal in that way. And that's also another interesting approach, which is good for people who are still novices at meditation and still trying to get kind of get comfortable with the whole meditation process when they're in there, because a lot of people are afraid they're going to lose control or they're going to get lost and they're not going to be able to find their way back. And, you know, so that's a nice mechanism to use for them.
Is that true? Can somebody get lost in meditation?
No. And then a method that I use oftentimes is to have people visualize that their feet, which are flat on the floor, are roots, and that their toes are little tendrils that go into the ground and root them very solidly to, you know, the earth, so that they can't float away or can't get lost, and they always will have a sacred space that they start out with and a sacred space that they return to. So there's no way of getting turned around in there and having your astral body get lost and not be able to find your actual physical body. So, and it's a comforting thing, so people are not so hyper-focused on getting lost that they're not enjoying the meditative experience.
Do you ever have astral travel while you're meditating? Do you ever have that experience?
In my life, I don't have that experience all the time. It has to be some really special circumstances for me, which typically don't happen, which is my house is really quiet, there's nobody home, and I have a nice peaceful time. Most of the time I have a pretty active household with my daughter and my partner, and there's usually a lot of commotion, which I can sort of tune out. So I think it usually only happens when there's absolutely nobody home and I actually take the time to focus on that. So
mm-hmm.
the travails of living in, you know, our busy times, but at least we're still able to use some of those.
Well, it brings up another good question. What if somebody's got a busy, active household or busy life? How do they meditate under those circumstances?
Well, I find that the best time to meditate myself is to get up about a half an hour earlier compared to the rest of my house. And the time that you take to do that is really, well, for me, it's so worthwhile, because the earth is just waking up, the sun is just sort of getting stronger, the animals are making, you know, their day get started, and I find that to be just being out there, even if I didn't do a meditation, just being out there is really a wonderful experience. And I, even though it's summer vacation and I don't get up early anymore for my daughter to see her off to school, you know, I'll still get up early and have a cup of coffee and just relax. And I write out some positive affirmations every morning before I start my day as well. So they're all kind of flows, and just having that time to yourself makes the rest of the day seem to go a lot better, I think, because you are taking time. I think the last person that you invest in sometimes is yourself.
Uh-huh.
And you're so busy taking care of everybody else. But if you take care of yourself first, I think it enables you to be fortified enough to be able to help everybody else that you have to help throughout the day.
Yeah, definitely healthy thinking. Reminds me, always on the airplane, you know, put your own mask on first before you help somebody else.
That's true.
Kind of a negative example, but, you know, hey, it works.
Yeah, it does work, exactly.
Before you bend over. All right, let's get on from that. So some good points on meditation, and let's switch to the positive consciousness. Now, you know, I know this is a term I put in the title there, and just remaining positive. And I want to go a little deeper into that positive consciousness type of thing, where it's a little bit different than just having a positive attitude. I think that people who have this positive consciousness, it's more of an evolutionary experience where they've kind of gotten to that point through their efforts, through their habit of remaining positive. And the way that I look at positive consciousness is really it's what your triggers are. It's your instincts are positive. It's those thoughts that you first have in any given situation when they turn out more positive rather than, oh, but got to bring that one around to the positive side. You know, it's that instinctual positiveness, the positive consciousness. And you just strike me as somebody that has worked to that. And so how do you handle some of these situations that perhaps are not so positive? What's your methodology for remaining positive even when you might be facing some adversity or some undesirable circumstances?
Well, I think the way, and this has been something that you already sort of mentioned, it's been a training process for my mind. I think that just the way society is, a lot of times we're not trained to think this way. And I think that we do ourselves a big disservice by not being able to do that right from the gate, right from a very young age. But it's a matter of acceptance. That I try to think that when you suffer the most when you go against the flow, you know, if you like that, you know, it's great if you're a salmon and you can swim against the stream and that sort of thing. But sometimes there is something out there bigger than the rest of us that is helping us to go in the right direction if we will only allow it to. That maybe that job that you didn't get, that you're so disappointed about not getting, is because there's something out there that you're supposed to have, you know, that's more appropriate for you. And I think it's just that belief that everything is as it should be. Mm-hmm. And it's not a matter of 100% fate. I am a true believer in, you know, free will and making choices. But sometimes it's just a matter of believing that you are going to receive what is for your highest and best good. And if you have to believe it at your very core, and it can't be in the beginning when you go through some of these positive affirmations or the power of positive thinking or any of those other books, and they all kind of at first you think, oh, are you kidding? You can't be serious. But the more you read it, the more you believe it, you actually can see the positive effects because you're so busy so quick to, you know, scoff at it, but not as quick to give it a try. And if things are not working out in your life the way you want them to, what have you got to lose? A little bit of energy for the positive is certainly not going to be a negative.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure. You know.
Oh, so, that's some good points, and you actually mentioned another interesting thing, and Vicky and I have talked about this, we were just talking about the other day, about how things seem to always work out for the best. It's when we're in a particular situation. It reminds me of James Allen in the book As a Man Thinketh, that whenever you learn a spiritual lesson in a particular circumstance, it passes, and then, you know, your circumstances change, and when we learn something, we change. You know, it's different than just knowing a lesson. We actually learn it, and when we learn something, we change, and so then things are different. And mm-hmm. So when you talk about things are as they should be, and things will happen, and it's almost like there's this part of us, this higher self, this, you know, attachment to universal consciousness, that somehow we are where we should be at this particular time for the lessons, for... And it's not, and this is the point that I wanted to make here. It's kind of a fine line. It's not so much that there's somebody out there that's guiding us, our hand. It's that part of our consciousness that we're kind of in tune in, and it's complicated. It's more complicated than just saying, yes, there's some God person out there. There's some, you know, puller of the puppet strings. You know, that's not what it is.
No. It comes from within. It comes from the power of within us, I believe. And, you know, when you begin doing positive affirmations, at first you feel like you're lying to yourself, you know. Like, oh, yes,
you're
sure, you know.
Spelling the future in advance, that's all.
Exactly. And then you begin to realize that it is a matter of telling the future in advance and writing your own book, you know. How do you want it to end? Do you want it to end in a tragedy, or do you want it to end or, you know, with a marvelous ending that, you know, everyone's just, you know, very pleased with? So
if you are one of our listeners and you've got some adversity going on, think of it that way. You are where you are for a reason. What's the lesson? What's the spiritual lesson contained in the circumstance? How can you maintain your positive attitude and your positive consciousness throughout this? Things will change, and I've been there, done that. I know that you can get so embroiled in adversity that you think it's never going to change. It's never going to end. It's always going to be this way. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. But that's just an illusion or a delusion or both. It's there. It'll change. But what's the lesson that you need to learn? And don't forget, too, that sometimes the solution to a problem lies outside your belief system. In other words, it's something that you wouldn't have even considered before, but that's the only solution. So what can you do to maintain that positive attitude, that positive consciousness that we are here to learn? Or you can just buy the T-shirt that says they sent me to the wrong planet.
I like that one. Yeah. You know, here's another thing to throw in, though, guys. And I'm just going to play a devil's advocate for a minute. No pun. It's that everything in our perspective of, you know, yeah, let's just be positive. It's relative to one's perspective and their lifestyle or way of life. And it's like the millionaire who had a bad deal, you know, lost $200,000. You know, he's really, you know, he's choked about that. But then there's the homeless guy whose tent blew away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I get the rules, but everything is relative to mm-hmm. one's experience. And it's like if you are used to living in your, and look, it's all over North America, and certainly in the U.S., people lose their $500,000 houses. You know, geez, your house is worth, you know, $100,000 today when yesterday it was $500,000. And, you know, they have to shut the door because their mortgage payment quadrupled. It's very tough at that moment to say, well, there's a lesson, you know. And there is, obviously, there's a lot of lessons. And it's very difficult to just say to people, well, just be positive and go to the food bank, you know, when they've never done that before. So, yes, then it goes outside the belief system. So it's like, to me, here's kind of what I say. I think your spirits are on holiday, and you better hire some new ones. So, you know, because this sucks. I don't care what way you look at it, positive, it sucks. And I think there has to be a validation that in that one moment, this sucks. So,
well, adversity does suck bad.
It does.
No question about it.
Definitely.
You know, and that's a good point you make. It's not like we're trying to sugarcoat adversity. Oh, you know, it'll be better. Just keep the faith. But in a sense, that's what we do need to do. Understanding that, yeah, adversity's tough and things happen. But adversity, as I've taught for a long time, is nothing more or less than a state of disorder. Things are outside of their proper order. That's adversity. Sometimes we have control over it, sometimes we don't. Sometimes that adversity is a result of our own previous choices in life, in fact, more often than not. But sometimes it's not, too. Sometimes it's as a result of other things, the economy, things that were beyond our abilities. And so whatever it is, something's out of its proper order. So that's adversity, and yet does suck. But we need to understand that it's temporal. It's temporary. It's not going to last forever. This too shall pass. It will pass. We have to hold on to that little thread, that little piece, that little positiveness to help carry us through. It works for me.
Well, I totally did. I totally agree. I remember many years ago having spoken with and really had a big discussion with a fellow who had been in a Cambodian prisoner of war camp for 10 years. And I asked him, how do you survive that? And it was just that thread of somebody sneaking in a newspaper clipping. You know, all he had to eat was rice. All he had, you know, and if you're lucky, but it was a horrible experience. His family had moved to Canada. He's still there. It took all those many years, finally, for them to release the prisoners, and he was able to come here. But what is that thing that keeps you living, that thing that keeps you going? What is that small thread of hope that says, this too shall pass? I mean, I find that just amazing about the human spirit. That, to me, is unbelievably miraculous in a way.
Well, I almost look at it as their why, their purpose. They have some purpose in their mind of, you know, that they just hold on to, like you're saying, and they hold on to it so intensely that they won't let it go. Like, his purpose was that he was not going to meet his end, maybe in that POW camp, that he was going to get out someday, maybe not today, but tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, and sooner or later, you know, that day did dawn. But I think it's all about, you know, being able to have a purpose, a reason. I think people sometimes flounder the most when they don't have a reason, a purpose, a passion that gets them up and out of bed every day, whatever it may be.
I think you nailed it right there. I mean, Nelson Mandela is probably the best global example of that, you know, with all his, you know, great suffering for 29 years, I believe, in prison. So, I mean, there's a purpose, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that one.
And perhaps that purpose is a higher purpose, too. You know, it's there for reasons we just don't know, and sometimes it's just the way the situation is, due to no fault of our own. And, Vicki, what you were talking about also reminds me of Viktor Frankl, who was in Auschwitz back in the day and during World War II, and talked about that very same thing, you know, that the meaning, and that's where logotherapy came from, or the therapy behind, you know, meaningfulness, finding meaning in one's life. And that's, he brought out that, you know, he studied that too. Why do some prisoners give up and just die? Why did some make it out? And the consensus, or his research findings, were that those who had a reason to live made it out. Those who had some unfinished business made it out. They held on. So all good stuff.
Mm-hmm. You know, John has made a comment in the chat room that I'd just like to go over. He's talking about macro and micro consciousness. And when you'd asked what he meant, macro psychokinesis could look like a global prophecy, whereas the micro is just our own intentions for ourselves. So he was asking if they were the same. I think I understand what John's asking here, is that we have a global consciousness, that we're all interconnected. And you know, yes, we can singularly put out an energy to say, yes, this is what I want. But we are also inclusive of a collective. You know, we're on a larger scale, you know. So what's the intent of the globe versus my intent at the moment, and how do they interact, you know, how do they kind of, you know, cross reference and kind of mesh together. So I think if I'm right there, John, I ask a very same question very often. I read an article, and I can't remember, I think it was in one of the scientific consciousness magazines, about somebody had written that we only have about 15% power in our projection for thought, because we're interacting with other people all the time. So I think it's relevant to say, you know, yeah, okay, I want $1 million, but what are the casualties of that $1 million, you know? And being very clear about, you know, what we want, and that, you know, Doug and I talked about this a lot. Doug is a real advocate of, you know, put it out there where it's the benefit of all. So, yes, I want to benefit myself, but the benefit of all. So I think if we take it into a larger scale, which I think John is referencing, is that our intent also has to be for the well-being of the planet,
mm-hmm.
I believe.
Yes.
Good point.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so good discussion so far. We got about 20 minutes left, and Betty, you are going to do a guided meditation, correct?
That is correct.
On the topic of an attitude of gratitude.
Yes.
Relaxation. Right. So anything you want to preface for before we get into this?
No, I'll just I'll do some of the preliminaries during the pre-meditation process and take you all in, and see how you feel when you come back out again.
No, I'm sure we'll feel good. I'm going to start with some, instead of that, I'm going to start with some ocean waves to kind of get us into the mood. You go ahead, Betty, and take it away.
Okay. Take it away, Calgon.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to thank everyone for joining us for the guided meditation tonight. It's called An Attitude of Gratitude. And as we discussed, meditation is an excellent form of relaxation, which quiets the mind, lowers the blood pressure, and increases the general state of well-being. The meditation presented tonight will assist you in bringing about a greater sense of harmony to your day-to-day living. I will be using tinksha bells, which symbolically neutralize any negative energy you may be harboring from your experiences today. They symbolically will transform your meditation space into a peaceful and harmonious sanctuary. And the sound of these bells change the vibration level. They are also used to help transition you during the meditation. Now, some people may experience difficulty with meditation in the beginning, and I just want to focus you with your breath and the sound of my voice. So when I direct you to visualize something, it is the same as me asking you to close your eyes and picture what your child's face looks like or one of the rooms in your home. And if you can do that, then you will be able to follow along on this guided meditation. Relax and sit comfortably with your eyes closed and begin with three cleansing breaths. In through your nose, holding your breath for the count of three. And exhaling through your mouth. And again, you'll inhale through your nose, holding it briefly, and out through your mouth. This is the last time. In through your nose, hold it, and out through your mouth. And visualize that you are inhaling clean, correct energy, and exhaling incorrect energy, removing all toxins from your body. And continue to focus on your breathing. Readjust your position and make yourself comfortable and relaxed. You're to focus on only two things: the sound of my voice and the rhythm of your breathing. And should an interfering thought enter your mind, acknowledge it and label it without emotion, and then just let it go. There is no past. There is no future. There is only now, the present. Your focused breathing and the sound of my voice. And we will begin by opening up our energy centers. Imagine that there is a glowing sphere of golden light surrounding the top of your head. Breathe deeply and slowly in and out while you keep your attention on the sphere of light. Feel it radiate from the top of your head. Now, allow your attention to move the light downward until you are completely enclosed in this protective sphere of light energy. And you know that you are safe, you are sheltered, you are grounded and protected within this energy shield. Nothing can disturb you because you are safely enclosed within this bubble. Breathe in and out, in and out. Your breath, my voice. Relax your body, relax your mind. No past, no future. You are here. The time is now. Continue to take slow, deep breaths while focusing on your breathing. Begin to focus on your root chakra, the area at the base of your spine, and visualize a vibrant red glowing sphere of light or a red crystal flower or fruit. This energy brings you health and security. Feel it empower you as it connects you to natural earth energies, and you are radiating power and vitality. Breathe the color red in and out and see yourself living in your healthy body, feeling happy and grateful for radiant health and boundless energy. You weigh your perfect weight with a strong, balanced immune system. Feel how good it feels to have all the energy you need to do all the things you love to do. You are grateful for this magnificent body that moves so freely, looks so well, and so good. You feel healthier than you've ever felt before. Now let this vibrant red chakra continue to glow and spin as you move up to your sacral chakra, which is the area between the base of your spine and your navel. Here, see a radiant glowing orange sphere of light. This energy is the key to prosperity and creativity. Breathe in a rich, beautiful orange color and visualize the fruit. Feel it bring the gifts of happiness, enthusiasm, fulfillment, prosperity, and abundance. See yourself experiencing true wealth on every level, being grateful for the abundance in your life. And let this chakra continue to glow and spin as you move up to your solar plexus, the area above your navel. And here you see a beautiful, sunny, yellow, glowing sphere of light as you visualize a lemon or a sunflower. And as you breathe in the vibrant yellow, feel it expand your joy, self-worth, and your personal power. You see yourself successful and deeply fulfilled in all areas of your life. And you feel the glowing yellow chakra empower you, enabling you to have the courage to achieve your goals and manifest your dreams. You move your energy to your heart chakra at the center of your chest, visualizing a beautiful emerald green, the color of leaves and grass. This is the energy of love for yourself and for others. Let it glow, bringing gifts of compassion, self-acceptance, and the ability to love deeply. Breathe in this green energy and let these feelings expand and see yourself living in perfect harmony with everyone in your life. Let it fill you with gratitude for this opportunity to live in our wonderful world. Feel yourself become more compassionate with the ability to forgive yourself and others. Allow this chakra to continue to glow and spin and move up to your throat chakra, located at your throat, while visualizing the beautiful color blue. This energy enables you to communicate with truth and wisdom while expressing yourself with confidence. Breathe blue in and out and see yourself happily expressing your uniqueness through creativity. You enjoy singing or dancing or playing sports or just having fun, and let the world know that you are here. Allow this chakra to continue to glow and spin and move to your third eye, the area located at the center of your forehead, just above your brow line. Here you see a beautiful, deep, bluish, indigo-colored sphere of light. It glows and expands your imagination, your intuition, your inner knowing, and your wisdom. You feel fully supported by the universe as you pursue your personal growth goals, and you are happily following your highest and best good for yourself and for others. And you see yourself living in your ideal personal growth in your own way, in your own life, always for the good and benefit of all that you touch. And allow the indigo to continue to glow and spin to your crown chakra at the top of your head. This energy connects you with your spirituality, your thought and service to others. Breathe in violet or white or gold or silver and let this chakra glow. It brings you gifts of self-knowledge, spiritual connection, and bliss. See yourself living in wisdom and awareness, surrendering to cosmic knowledge, joyfully contributing to the world in ways most meaningful for you. Let the chakra glow and spin as you focus on the golden glowing light above your head and watch as it transforms into a golden energy of abundance and prosperity. Visualize this beautiful golden energy embracing you with an attitude of gratitude, and know that you receive everything you need, and you feel an attitude of gratitude with every breath you take. Spend some time in this place of gratitude and peace, knowing that you attract prosperity and abundance with every thought of prosperity and abundance, peace and harmony. And when it is time, I will guide you back. And now it is time for you to blissfully return, knowing that you can return to this state of joy anytime that you wish. Keeping your eyes closed, slowly become aware of the room in which you sit. And slowly return your awareness to the present. And as you slowly open your eyes and gaze around the room, you feel fully awake and refreshed. And just take a moment now to sit quietly as you reawaken completely.
Very nice, Betty.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly. Everybody awake?
Yeah, I'm awake.
I'm here.
We're emerging.
Yeah, we're in the emergent state. Yeah, that was nice. You have a nice tone to your voice. And
thank you.
And it was,
I hope
relaxing.
Everybody enjoyed it.
Well, if they either way, they're probably asleep. So
right.
If they're listening, they're back. Well, good. Yeah, it's just coming in. Manisha liked it. Dr. Manisha, great. I'm sure the comments will come through as people wake up. Dr. John, I enjoyed it. Shauna, that was awesome. Which, of course, it was. So, well, we've just got a couple, 3 minutes left in the show, but very nicely done. Just to recap some of the things we talked about from before is being positive and holding those positive thoughts. And Betty, any final remarks you want to make about all of it, you know, positiveness, meditation, whatever is burning in your soul?
Well, the best thing that I can say is to start. You know, everybody always has great intentions, but then getting started sometimes, you know, that's where we kind of lack. I would even say the best way to get started is to start writing out some affirmations. I write out affirmations every day in the first person, the second person, and the third person, 5 of each. And I do that while I'm just sipping my coffee and waking up. And every month it's something new, whatever it is, you know, whatever good intentions I want to send out for someone else or for myself, I just put it out there. And I think that's a great way for people to start. It's a good discipline to get into.
Yep. Phil, very nicely done. Betty Fletcher, thank you so much for joining us live tonight in your meditation. Awesome job.
Thank you, Dr. Kelly. It was my pleasure.
Yeah, it was very nice having you. And, of course, Betty is finishing up her doctoral program, so we'll have to call her doctor here before too long. Anyway, we appreciate everybody's time tonight, taking time from your night and day and listening to us. Next week, Vicki, our topic is going to be on the topic of
when to ask for help.
Yep.
We all need help once in a while, so when to ask for help and all that goes with it and trusting in your own self and your own decisions. So we'll talk lots about that next week.
And you know, in 2 weeks, on June 20th, we have the Rite of Signature for Sol Prevailing, a.k.a. the Summer Solstice. So we're going to be doing our little our ritual for that, or our little rite. So be sure to join us in 2 weeks. Again, thank you to everyone in the chat room for your comments, your nice comments on Betty's guided meditation. We appreciate that. We appreciate those listening to the archives. If you like what you're hearing, please visit us at mchschurch.org. If you'd like to learn more about metaphysics, get your degree perhaps, visit us at metaphysicsinstitute.org. There's much more information there. Thanks to John Hightower for helping us behind the scenes. Thanks to Dr. Vicki for not hanging up on me.
Thanks, and Betty.
Thanks,
Betty. We wish everybody a great week. See you next week.
I get to design the cheerleading costume.
All right.
All right.
And tell everybody about the show. Get them in on the good deal. Take care. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.